Today's gospel comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the 5th chapter. Jesus went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. So his fame spread throughout Syria, and they brought to him all the sick, those who were afflicted by various diseases and pains, people possessed by demons or having epilepsy or afflicted with paralysis, and he cured them. And great crowds followed them from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain, and after he sat down, the disciples came to him, and he began to speak, and he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be fulfilled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile against and persecute you, and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Please be seated. The Beatitudes, a very familiar part of our Bible literacy, our Bible history. And sometimes the Beatitudes are taken many, many different ways. Sometimes they're taken and they're taught as values or virtues. Sorry, I did not tell the children to go out. I even have it written right at the top. Children, you can go out to the creation station. Some have listed the Beatitudes and interpreted this as a list of virtues to live a life of discipleship. Some have just called them the Beatitudes. A Bible study that I was in part of when I was on internship presented it as a list of promises. Like when you hit hard times in life, you can know you are blessed. But today, as we heard the gospel, I want to set it up in a different way. I want to set this up as this is the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Something more than just attitudes or virtues or a promise in times of hardship. But I want you to imagine this as the mission statement of Jesus' ministry. The mission statement of Emmanuel, God with us, and what it meant to those who were sitting there on the mountain seeking Jesus. And I want to consider a moment how this text speaks to us in our lives today. So I want you to picture this scene. Jesus, there's this crowd that has gathered around Jesus, and they were the loved ones, friends of the sick, who brought the sick and afflicted with various diseases and pains, people possessed by demons or afflicted by paralysis, and Jesus cured them. Those were the folks gathered there on the mount that day, not the religious elite, the downtrodden, the sick, the outcast, the newly called disciples, and Jesus stands with them with an unexpected word. Not that they were sick, mourning, downcast for something they had done or who they are. They were not cursed or forgotten by God. Jesus is saying to them, take a look, folks. God, Emmanuel, is standing right there with them. And not only is God standing there with them, God is calling them blessed. But he's present, not just calling them blessed. He's present with them and providing what they need. I wonder what the disciples thought about this scene. Because Jesus is upsetting the apple cart when it comes to the thinking about who's been blessed. Jesus is not declaring blessedness according to status or power or money, but precisely the opposite. He is setting the scene. The mission of his ministry is to come to bring blessing to people in all circumstances, including those that seem, those that are viewed as very unblessed, and in some eyes, not worthy of being blessed. Jesus' message is countercultural. It can still be a comforting word for the disciples when they're mourning or poor in spirit. But I think today's text is inviting them into something bigger. I think today's text is inviting us into something bigger, to be workers in the kingdom of God. Because here comes the marching orders for the disciples, for the followers of Jesus, and for us today. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Beloved of Hosanna, how does this message resonate with us, considering the circumstances of today? Where do we see Emmanuel, God with us, when we hear the news today? When we go to work or school? Who are the poor in spirit in our lives today? Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Have you thought about what that could look like today? Who are those who are mourning? Who are those who are mourning today? They will be comforted. Beloved disciples, have you thought about what that could look like? How can you witness? How can you comfort? Can we be witnesses to the kingdom of God? Who are the meek? in our lives today. Beloved kingdom, how does this show up? Who are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness today? What does this look like? And how do we, as followers, as the body of Christ, meet this need? We, like the disciples, have our marching orders. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. So what does this good news of the Beatitudes look like for us today? I can see by your faces you're thinking. I want to take a moment to consider the words of our ELCA presiding bishop, Yahiel Curry, and the bishops of the Minnesota Synods, including Bishop Regina Hassanelli, that they have shared this week.
Dear Church, grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today I join my colleagues from Minnesota as together we feel the pain and uncertainty being experienced by many in that state and elsewhere in God's kingdom. We stand with those who have been targeted unjustly and armed during a moment of extreme brokenness. We condemn aggressive immigration enforcement tactics. We mourn the deaths of those who have lost their lives. This is our lament. Yet, we hold fast to the promises of Christ. And you are not alone. We see you. We stand with you.
We don't know how long this season of suffering will go on.
We don't know where some of our friends and neighbors are right now.
We don't know the griefs and burdens that each of you are carrying right now.
We don't know the full impact of this on our children and on our grandchildren.
We don't know all the answers.
We don't know what tomorrow will bring.
We know that you're tired.
We know that our neighbors who are immigrants and people of color and refugees have borne the brunt of this hardship and violence.
We know that church members and teachers and community partners are caring for people too afraid to leave their homes.
We know that people are resilient and showing up for their neighbors.
We know that you are finding ways to respond to the call of Christ.
We know that we are not alone.
And we know that we hold fast to the promises of Christ.
We will not grow weary, for we hold fast the promises of Christ.
We will not grow weary because we hold fast to the promises of Christ.
We will not grow weary, for we hold fast to the promises of Christ.
We will not grow weary, for we hold fast to the promises of Christ.
We will not grow weary, for we hold fast to the promises of Christ.
We will not grow weary, for we hold fast to the promises of Christ.
We will not grow weary, for we are not alone. We know this because of what God in Jesus has done. In this moment, dear church, many of us feel helpless. So we must ask ourselves, what is our call? Remember that in our baptism,
We are set free in Jesus, and we have what we need to show up for our neighbors. We must connect with each other regularly and faithfully in our fellowship halls and grocery stores, and walk together as children of God, even when we don't agree on everything. Use your power for good. Pray together. Serve and accompany your neighbors, and continue to model what a faithful and prophetic witness looks like as we work for peace and justice in our communities. We will not grow weary, for we are not alone. Let us pray. God of mercy, hold us in this moment of grief and uncertainty. Strengthen those who are tired. Comfort those who are hurting. And guide us as we continue to show up for one another with courage and compassion. Renew our hope, remind us of your presence, and keep us steadfast in love. We will not grow weary, and we are not alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Beloved people of Hosanna, may we act justly, may we love mercy, and may we walk humbly with our God, remembering that we are not alone. Amen.